God is a powerful God. He's able to work and to use and to work through whatever he needs to try to convey the message that he absolutely loves us. We talked about this, and I'm going to talk about it in just a few moments, about how there is such a love deficiency in our world. We see lots of love, but in actual fact, it probably is a lot like lust, because it's usually about what we can get out of it. And we know that God's love is not about what you can get out of it. God's love is about what you give. God showed his love by demonstrating it on the cross when he sent his son Jesus. He gave Jesus to die on the cross. We best show our love when we give it, when we give it away. And yet our world is consumed with love that says, what's in it for me? What do I get? Is it going to satisfy me? Is it going to please me? And so what looks like love and what feels like love very often doesn't stay in love. It very often doesn't last. And so the Lord wants to encourage us, and he wants to remind us today that his love is what we need, and it will shape us and it will form us. And if it's not his pure love, then something else will shape us and something else will form us. I want us to read this verse this morning. It says in John chapter 8, verse 41. I think we've got it on the screen if you want to look it up. John chapter 8, verse 47 says this: whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And so it's a very matter-of-fact verse that just simply says, if you belong to God, then you hear from God. If you don't belong to God, then you won't hear from him, because you won't be listening out for him. You won't be inclining your ear. You won't be thinking to listen for him. You might even believe in a God, never mind try to listen to a God that you don't believe. It just wouldn't make any sense. But the Bible tells us very clearly, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. And so our God speaks. And here's the thing I really want to encourage with us this morning. Not only does he speak, but he's meant to have a big influence in our lives. I've been reading the early part of the Old Testament, and you can just see it day after day after day. Those early followers of God would listen to his voice. Every time he would speak, they would go here, they would go there, they would tune to his voice. You know, sometimes we look up we listen to the news to get the weather forecast. It felt that they just, anytime they needed information, they listened to heaven. They inclined their ear towards the Lord, and he would reveal things to them. I guess the good news was they didn't have anybody else to listen to. They had no TV, they had no social media, they had no other thing screaming at them bar their families. And so they were very good at listening to God's voice. And I think somewhere along the way, maybe you know it personally in your life, we have got sidetracked by all these other voices, by all these other things that want to grab our attention, with all these other options. Like, we can look up on our phone this, we can Google that, we can ask somebody this. We've got, our world is full of information. I think we've never been in an age or a time where we've had so much information overload. We can find out as much useless information as you want. Anytime anyone ever went on to Google or went on to Wikipedia or something like that, and you start to look some kind of information up, and before you know it, you've been looking for another 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and you find out all this weird and wonderful information. Or maybe you're like one of those people that goes onto YouTube and you start watching a video like, I wonder how you do this. I don't know, if you're going camping with us at the weekend, you might went on YouTube to say, how do you start a fire in a forest? Not to burn it down, but to simply, you want to know man makes fire type thing. And you get into the YouTube, and then before you know it, you're in another one, and another one, and another one. We just get consumed with, like, information. And God says this morning, be careful how much you get consumed with, because we are like jars of clay, the Bible says. There's only so much that you can pour into me. There's only so much capacity that I have. There's only so much that I can do. There's only so much that I can receive. And maybe one of our biggest issues is not that we don't want to hear from God as Christians. It's that we're so consumed with everything else, there's hardly any room for him to speak. And even sometimes when he does speak, we question, is that really you, God? You know, because it's kind of contrary to other things that I think. And I think it's, I believe. A lot of the time, it's we're being bombarded with all this extra information. We're taking it on board because it feels good, because information is power. But the right information is the powerful information. And we need to know God's heart. And we need to know his voice. And so this morning, here is my desire and here's my dream, is that we would not only know the voice of the Lord, not only would we know his voice, but we would follow his voice, and that his voice would be the most dominant voice in our lives. It would be the most dominant conversation. It would be the voice that leads our lives. You know, the way we have people in our lives that help us to really lead, you know, when we're unsure of of like, will I take this step? Will I take that step? You know, if you're still at home, it tends to be your mom or dad. If you're married, then it tends to be your wife or your husband. If you're living with friends, then it tends to be those close friends that you're staying with or that you're closest to. And they're the people that give you the best advice, and you ask them for that advice, and vice versa. So you know that whatever they share, then you'll come back to them, and it'll all work together. And it works really, really well. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we get consumed again with all of that, and our life starts to lead a pattern of, I ask this person, I ask that person, I ask this. And all of that works great until we come to days where we get to places we should never have been, or we end up in places that we don't get to the places we need to, or we don't get the right answers that we need to hear, and things are not working. Or, oh yeah, I listened to what you said that time, and look where that got me. I'm sure we've all had those ones. You ask someone good advice, they give you good advice, it feels like it clicks, and then you go and do it, and it all just goes pear-shaped. It just doesn't work out. And God's here this morning to remind us that we are His children, and if we are His children, then we need to know the Father's voice. It's that simple. And the good news of Jesus, and the good news of the gospel, and the good news of our faith is that we never, ever graduate away from being a son or a daughter, and I'm pleased about that. Because everybody needs that. Everybody needs a heavenly Father. And I don't want to get to a place of where I'm on the same level as Him, where we don't have nothing to talk about anymore. It's not like an earthly one where we move on or we transition and then I become this or I become that. Thankfully, in the kingdom of God, no matter how old, no matter how young, if you're saved, then you're always a son or a daughter. And the Lord wants to remind us this morning that He speaks to His children. And if you belong to God, then you will hear God's voice. And He wants us to recognize His voice. And He wants us to follow after His voice. Psalm 33:9 says this. We've got it on the screen. For when He spoke, the world began, and it appeared at His command. I want to encourage us this morning that to know God's voice, I believe, is absolutely essential. I believe right from the beginning, from those early followers of God, right to the very end, right to us today, we need to know God's voice. Otherwise, we will walk in wrong directions. We will do things that were never intended for us. We will get into to scraps and to scrapes that we were never supposed to get into, and then we wonder, why did this happen and why that, Lord? And sometimes what I've found in my life is that I ask God and listen to God too late. You've ever done that? Where you get into a certain situation or you go down as best you can, and then at the end you go, Lord, where are you? What am I doing here, Lord? What am I doing in this place? And I think the whole time the Lord was trying to get our attention and say, I would have loved to talk to you at the beginning, you know? I would have loved to have talked to you at that day one rather than day 30 or day 200 or whatever it is that we get down. And it's amazing how when we go one direction, 10 years can go by. 5 years can go by from one decision, from one this, from one that. I love when I talk to God because you know what He does sometimes? He puts me straight. You ever talk to God and you're like, oh God, I can't stand that person. They've really hurt me. And He goes, I really love them. You know, and you may not hear an audible voice, but you just know from the page that He's going, I love you, I love you, I love you. You'll love me if you love others. And He just convicts you and He changes you. And then He maybe prompts in your heart like, I need to phone that person. You're like, I don't want to phone that person. I don't want to do that, Lord. You see, it's not just for direction. It's also for correction. The Lord needs to speak to us in many different ways. Maybe it's like, do I go this way, Lord, to do that? Should I talk to this person? And all the time He's going to go, yes, absolutely. I love people. I came for people. I died for people. So He keeps us. He encourages us. He builds us up. And if you're anything like me, I need that from God. I need God to come and whisper to me at times. I need Him to come and be forceful at times. I need Him to really convict me at times. There are times where I've decided to go this way, and I'm going this way because I'm doing it in spite of something else. Or I'm doing it because I have to get this thing done. And then the Lord just stops me in my tracks and He says, really? Is that what I said? And maybe go to the Word or start to pray, and He starts to gently convict me. Or if He needs to do it worse, he'll really come after me. Say, come on, that's not right. That's not the way we go. This is not what we do. This is not the way our family rolls. He brings it down. He brings it right to the heart. He brings it right down to our emotions, and He reminds us of who we are. We are men and women, but we are sons and daughters of God. And sons and daughters act a different way. We spent a bit of time at the weekend. We talked about orphans. And we said how it's amazing how we can go from being justified with God, and then we come over here to being sanctified with God, which is we want to become more Christ-like. So over here, it's like I've become right with God. My sins are forgiven. We think of a legal transaction. I go before the court. God is the judge, but Jesus stands in my defense, and he sets me free. And then we think over here about sanctification, how I want to become more like Christ every single day. But right in the middle, and I'm reading something in a minute, and it's just consuming me, and it's been something that's been on my heart for years, and I believe it's such a key to unlock so many people's lives, is in the middle, the most important ingredient of the whole thing that we need to remind ourselves is that Romans 8 tells us that through the spirit of adoption, we have went from being slaves to sons and daughters. And that's completely different, because if we forget the spirit of adoption, if we forget that we have been adopted, if we forget that we've been grafted into the vine, that we are co-heirs with Christ, that we are now free men and women, if we forget that, do you know what ends up happening? Over here, sanctification starts to become a pressure. It starts to become a burden. Am I really changing? Am I really transforming? Is God happy with me? Is God pleased with me? Because you know what? Our lasting memory of God is back here. God set me free. I owe him everything. That's true. But we still remember him almost as a judge who wanted to condemn me only for Jesus. And then over here, oh my goodness, I'm this, I'm that. And God said, in the middle, what I did was your spiritual adoption. Incredible. We became sons and daughters, no longer slaves, no longer orphans. We became his children. That's completely different. That is completely different. Our kids don't wait on tender hooks wondering, will my mom and dad forgive me? They come with this cheeky smile wondering, we know you're going to love us. We know you're going to forgive us. And they move on. And sometimes they even repeat the same mistake and they do it again. And they know they're going to come and they're going to get forgiveness, because that's what a good father does. That's what a good mother does. But you know what an orphan or a slave does? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You know what? I can't even go to God. I'm going to leave this whole thing. I'm going to get away from this whole thing. And it's incredible how suddenly that voice of God that we loved and cherished so dearly back here when he spoke the words of, I forgive you. Suddenly when we get here and we try to do it in our own strength and we try to live for God, we try to do it through good works, then to go to God when we have failed or feel like we failed and let him down, we feel like he's just going to banish me. He's just going to get rid of me. And we've forgotten in the middle that he has transformed me. I am no longer an orphan. I am no longer a slave. I've been grafted straight into the vine. I have full inheritance. I am a co-heir with Christ. He will not abandon me. I am a son or a daughter. And this morning, that is good news for us. It is such good news. And it removes the fear factor. And it allows us to come every single time to our Father and say, Dad, I've done wrong. Or Dad, I need your help. Or Heavenly Father, I need you to guide me. Or Lord, would you lead me? Would you show me? It allows us to come every single time because we know that he said I'm worth it. We know because of what he did over here on the cross, what he did over here was he made me a son or a daughter. He redefined me. He transformed me. He made me a new creation. And church, this morning, I want us to get that in our hearts, because if we do, it transforms everything in our lives. We are sons and daughters who hear the voice of God. Sometimes we wonder, why would God speak to me? Sometimes we wonder, you know, why do I not hear him? Maybe I don't deserve it. Maybe this, maybe that. We go around all of the houses. But I want us to begin where we started this morning, and that is, he wants to speak to us because he loves us, and he delights in us, and he cherishes us, and he brought us from the brink, and he took us from slavery, and he took us from a sinner, and he made us his son, and he made us his daughter, and like any good dad, he loves his children. I want us to read Ephesians 3:16 together, verse 19. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. Look what the Lord wants to do to our hearts this morning. Look how he wants to love us. Look how he wants to speak to us. I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, this morning, if we've got faith, then through faith, we're going to receive all the things that we need. Through faith, the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell in our lives. Through faith, the Holy Spirit is going to live inside of us. He's going to empower us, and he's going to enable us to live as Christ always intended. But look, the resource pool that we have. We have the resource pool of heaven, the glorious riches. The glorious riches of God are going to strengthen us. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness, of all the fullness of God. What an important three or four verses that radically, radically transforms your life. But the bit I want to just take out this morning is this. I pray that you being rooted and established in love. This is such a key, key thing for us this morning. If we're going to know God's voice, if we're going to want to hear God's voice, if we're going to remember to hear God's voice, how many times do we just go, man, I just forgot to talk to God today. I just forgot to spend time with him. I just did this, I just did that. When you really know God and you're fully consumed with his love and you know that he loves you, you just can't wait to spend time with him. You'll never forget. You could never forget the one that you love. But this is what he said. I want you to be rooted and established in love, because love is essential for our relationship with God. Remember, this whole time, we're not going to talk to the God of the universe. We're going to talk to our Heavenly Father, because we're in relationship. We're in family together. This is what relationships do. Relationships without communication die very, very quickly. They're over. And what we thought was a deep and meaningful relationship, suddenly it's like, wow, we're just strangers. We may have the same name. We may be related, but it feels like we're just strangers, because we have to be rooted in love and communicating together. It says rooted and established in love. And when I thought about it this week and I wrote down some notes earlier in the week, I thought, wow, is that even possible to be rooted and established in love in the midst of the world that we live in? And of course, we know that supernaturally, this is what God has done in our lives. He has taken us from this person that was never good enough for God, from this person who could never be good enough for God. And through the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, he has adopted us. He has supernaturally transformed us and moved us, supernaturally moved us through the power of the Holy Spirit into his family. And what did he do? He paid the highest price through his son. And he makes you a co-heir with Christ, a free man, a free woman. Debts paid, debts canceled, and now we are rooted and established in love. And how do we receive that? What it says just a line above, through faith. Through faith. This is something that through faith we have to believe. Our faith is based on believing. We believe in God and we say, God, okay, I'm rooted and established in love. And I want to encourage you, maybe as a simple exercise, that you could get up every day and say, Lord, I'm rooted and established in love. Help me to know that. Help me to live in that. Help me to rest in that. How many of us are just going from pillar to post, wondering, how do I get some rest? How do I get a drink? How do I be refreshed? The Lord says, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. But it feels like we're going from pillar to post, from one war to the next war, from one problem to the next problem, and every problem seems to accumulate. And before you know it, we just feel, wow, I don't know what to do. I don't know where God is in this. And I believe we've got to get up in the morning times, and we've got to say, Lord, I know I'm rooted and established in your love. I know that I'm rooted and established in your love. And look what the direct result is, that you may have power. Because power always comes from love. You can get it from other means, but it's not as powerful as power that comes from love. It is incredible when we know that we're loved and fully known and fully loved by God. And together with all God's holy people, we could grasp how incredible his love is. And so if we're going to hear God's voice and we're going to know God's voice, we've got to know that we're loved. We've got to know the reason that we're loved. We've got to know the reason why we got loved in the first place, and that was because of Jesus and how he chose us. He chose us. I think one of the most powerful aspects of adoption is this, is that you're chosen, absolutely chosen. The person comes, if it's about a context in our local scene, the person comes and they say, okay, yes, I will have that child. Or yes, I will have that person. Or yes, I will have that baby. What are they essentially saying? I choose them. I pick them. I've chosen to take them. I've chosen to take them from here and bring them to there and place them inside my family. They will receive all the benefits of my family. They will no longer be a stranger. They will be part of me. They will carry my name. They will have everything that I have. And the Lord says the same to us this morning. I picked you from nowhere. I picked you, from nowhere. You offered me nothing. You had nothing to offer me. I had everything to give you. And I chose you and I picked you and I took you from here and I placed you here with me. And now you have everything I have. You have my name. You have my power. You have my love. You're in my family. And the Lord says this morning, I want to remind you of that every day. What about one of the most powerful things that the Lord needs to say to each and every one of us all of the time? I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I am well pleased with you. It's such a hard concept sometimes for us to grasp. But Lord, how can you love me after the things that I've done? I love you, son. I've picked you up from here. I've brought you into my family. That stuff's all gone now. Your debts are cleared. You're a new creation in me. That's such a hard one for us to process. But even think of it from an earthly perspective. When we're adopted from one family to the next, that old family's gone. And all the debts don't carry. Everything's gone once you move. And now suddenly I'm rooted and established in love. I'm in a new family. It's a new day. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new woman. I have a new dad. I'm in a new family. Everything has changed. Sometimes the hardest voice to hear or the hardest words from God to hear is, I love you. And yet the most essential, the most essential. It's amazing how we can get consumed with, Lord, what do you want me to do next? Who do you want me to speak to? And all of those things are really good. But maybe we need to start at the very beginning. Lord, how much do you love me? How can I know that you love me? How can I be assured in my heart that you're pleased with me despite what I do or what I don't do? What did the Father say right before Jesus did anything? He baptized him with the Holy Spirit. He endued him with power. And then he said, here's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We need to know right from the beginning that we cannot do anything for the Lord. He chose us because of his great love, and he adopted us into his family because of his great love. And now suddenly we become his, and everything he has is ours. The prodigal son knew that, but he wasted it all. I encourage us this morning, just like the prodigal son, know that your Father has everything for you, but don't be like the prodigal son and wander away. Stay close to the Father's voice and know his voice and let it lead your life. Amen? God is good this morning, and it's his love that transforms us. We didn't know it daily. I said it already, but could you imagine being in a close relationship with someone and never hearing from them? Could you imagine being in a close relationship with someone and going, wait, when was the last time we spoke? 10 years ago. Oh my goodness, maybe it's not as close as I thought. You know, if you're not thinking it, they're thinking it. Trust me. They're thinking, wow, you're in a close relationship. I never hear from you. I mean, but it takes two, doesn't it? I never hear from you. I never hear from you either. You know, we can come back with it. But we've got to be rooted and established in love together. There's got to be that communication. Church, this morning, I encourage us to talk to our Heavenly Father. Listen to him. What did Paul say? My desire is that we pray without ceasing, that we would communicate with God without ceasing. I need to know his voice. I need to know where to go to. I know this for me personally in my life. I need to know what the Lord says. I want to know what he says. I want to know when I go to places, Lord, what have you got for me to do here? Who are the people you need to share with that I need to talk to? Lord, what do you want to remind me of today? Carrie mentioned it earlier. What are the lies that I need to repent of and get rid of because I've started to believe something that's not true, but I've made it true by me believing in it? Because what are we? We are people with authority. We are people with authority, and our words count because we're part of the kingdom of God now. Our words before didn't count for much because we were just slaves. Now we're sons and daughters. Our words count. And so what we say is very like God. Our words are powerful. Our words are important. And what we speak over our lives and what we speak over other people's lives are vitally important. We need to know the Lord's hand. We need to know the Lord's voice. Otherwise, we will think and do and act in wrong ways. Here's what I thought. Sometimes, true story, sometimes Nikki speaks to me and I don't listen. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Sometimes Nikki speaks to me and I pretend to listen, but I'm not really listening. Sometimes Nikki speaks to me and I hear it, but I don't do what she says. And very quickly after, I hear more words and then I start to do what she says. Because otherwise, more and more words are going to come and it's just going to get bad quickly. And she's not a bad person. I'm the bad person for not listening. Because if someone speaks to you, it usually means they need something. They actually might need it. They might need your help. But you know what happens sometimes? I get distracted. Do you ever get distracted? I'm like, yeah, but I'm distracted. Maybe, and it could be a good distraction. I'm working. You know, man's got to work, you know. I've got to get this thing done, you know, whatever it is. Come on, don't worry about it. Or maybe man's got to relax, you know. Come on, I've got to relax. I'm not going to say anymore. But, you know, I got to hear. I have to choose to hear. I've got to choose to hear. But the things that get in the way are distractions. Distractions. I get distracted by this. I get distracted by that. Any of us ever get distracted? And when God's trying to speak to us, we get distracted. I know some of us never get distracted. I love that. But the majority of us maybe do. But we get distracted. I mean, it's crazy. We get distracted at the slightest thing. Somebody drops a pen. Who dropped a pen? What was that? You know, we get distracted. Any noise at all in the room. Oh my goodness, what was that? You know, it was like me the other day. We were up at the front praying and the counter thing, and I heard this light bang. I was like, oh my goodness, the whole world has fallen in. And it was just a chair slapping up. It was just a chair slapping up, distracting me right out of what we were trying to do. It's amazing how we get distracted by the simplest things. It's like, boom, what was that? And God says this morning, we have to know how to get into a place when we don't get distracted by everything. This is what we spoke at the weekend. I thought it was vitally important to share it again this morning. The best place to hear God without distractions is a secret place. Can we read Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6 together? But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I put that in brackets. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I'd rather just change that openly, not publicly. I just forgot to change it. I don't want it to feel like it's a public thing. I want it to be openly. Because not every ministry, not everything that we do is public in the sense of on a stage or anything like that. It should be openly. But look what the Father says. If you will go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who sees in secret, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And there's a big question that we asked our hearts at the weekend. It's a big question I want to ask all of our hearts this morning. Which reward do we want most? Do we want the Father's reward or do we want everybody else's reward? Now, we know what the default answer is. Of course, I want God's reward. I wouldn't say anything else. Don't dare say it. But in reality, we live our lives a lot for everybody else's reward. What do you think about me? Do you think I did a good job? Man, he never even said anything. It must have been rubbish. All we want to hear is we want that. We need that affirmation. Again, there's nothing wrong with encouragement, but which reward do we want more? Which voice do we want to hear more of? Because that will define and that will prioritize what we go after. More and more, the Lord is revealing to me, I need to know his voice above all other voices. More and more, it feels like every week that goes past, every year that goes past, as things become bigger, whether it be in church or within family or within work, I've just learned more and more I need to know his voice. Because every decision seems to count more and more. Maybe it's just the way it goes as you get older and you hopefully get wiser, then you need more and more counsel. And I need the counsel of the Lord. I need his wisdom. I need his help. And church, this morning, we need to learn and we need to create a secret place. Because you know the best thing about a secret place is that nobody else can find you there. It's like hide and seek, but nobody else can find you. The Lord knows the best hiding spots. Did you know that? He knows the best hiding spots. Nobody can find him. I wouldn't even like to play hide and seek with him because he knows every place as well. So if you were hiding, he'd always find you. And if he was hiding, you'd never find him. He's incredible. But when we go together, what a secret place we can get. What an incredible place we can get to. Now, that could be in your front living room in the morning, might be in the car on the way to work, maybe in the middle of the day, instead of taking lunch with the guys or whatever, you go to the car, you go to somewhere else, and you spend time with God. Maybe it's walking up a mountain. Maybe it's going for a walk in Gosford. I don't know. Wherever you need to go to get a secret place with God. Because why? Because in the secret place, he will reward you. In the secret place, he will reward you, and it will affect your life openly, in the day-to-day, in every place that we go. And I love to get in the secret place. Why? Because there are no distractions there, and his is the only voice I want to hear, and everything else is gone. I've got to leave my phone away from that, because your phone just wants to get you. Your phone. Did you know your phone wants to get you? Your phone wants to get you. It wants to text you. It wants to phone you. It wants to alert you. It wants to email you. It wants to get you. Maybe it's a person. I don't know, but it wants to get you. And you need to get rid of your phone just for those times. You know what we did over the weekend? It was really bold. We asked everyone to give us your phones. And everyone gave them, apart from me. But Nikki warned me, don't give your phone in case I go into labor. So I've got a great excuse. I got a great excuse. But I didn't go on it. Praise the Lord. I just left it over the side. And if it rang, it rang. But it didn't ring. So I was all good. But we give our phones over at the weekend. And you know what? Let me tell you a good story. True story as well. People were excited to give their phones away. I thought it was going to be like, you know, pulling teeth. No, people were like, come on, take the phone away. We didn't even really want it. Isn't it amazing? The thing that dominates our life, the thing that communicates with us the most is maybe the thing we don't even want. It's maybe the thing that we don't even want in our lives. We'd like to go back to phone me after six. You know, I'll be in after six. Oh, not here at the minute, you'll be in after six. Remember that in the old days? That's what we had to do. No way to reach anybody. No way to get anybody. The phone was engaged. Oh my goodness, we'll have to wait another hour. You know, all of those things. Now mobiles, oh, I'll get you in a split second. Where were you? Where were you? I get phone calls. One guy phones me 20 times if he can't get me. I'm like, I'm not answering if you phone 20 times. I'm phoning till I get you. I'm like, leave me alone. And for that weekend, we put our phones away. And guess what happened? We were able to hear God better. We were able to hear his voice. It shocked us. It surprised us. We got excited by it. Guess what? It didn't fool God at all. He knew that if you make time for him, if you create space for him, you create a secret place with him, then he will come in, he will talk to you, and he will communicate with you, and it will transform you. Trust me, the words that God has to share with you are of far greater value than anybody else, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or over the phone. His words are far greater. Why? Because they penetrate our hearts, because he knows every single thing about us, and he speaks the right words at the right time. He speaks the right words in season. And you know what? His words, they're so good that his words are soothing at times. They're so good at times that his words bring peace. They're so good at times that his words bring healing. I've felt that all in my life. Maybe you felt that in your life. And if you haven't, ask God. His words are life-changing. They are life-changing. When you know that God and you can hear his voice and you follow his voice and let his voice lead your life, it transforms and it changes everything. We wrote down just a few things of the benefit of the secret place. Number one, which we mentioned, no distractions there. There are no distractions. There's nobody else can find you. It's a secret place, just you and God. Second thing, no one else can get you. Just no one else can get you. They don't know where you are. You've turned your phone off. You've put it away. You've left it outside. You've left it somewhere else. They cannot get you. No one else can influence you. I love this. I think one of the most important things that we need to learn, and maybe what you're learning in your life, is that there are many decisions in life to make. There are many decisions, big, small, in-between decisions, and everybody wants to influence you because everybody wants to be part of it. Everybody's like, yeah, I helped her do this. I helped him do that. Everybody wants to give good advice, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But we need to know God's advice. We need to know his influence most. Otherwise, other influences can distract us. Other influences can make us go a certain way. I need to know God's influence most. I think you do as well. Fourth thing, it's one-on-one time with God. There's nothing like spending one-on-one time with God, hearing his voice, knowing his voice, and hearing what he says about us. And then what we read already on there, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I need rewarded. I need to know blessing in my life. I need to see God bless through me into my family, into the people I work with, into the church. I need to see God bless me. He wants to work through you as a blesser into your community and into your family. And God literally speaks in whatever form he needs to. Can we read Exodus chapter 3 together? Verse 2, I just think this is a powerful story and a powerful reminder. Moses has been on the run for 40 years. Moses has killed a man. Moses was almost, in a sense, set apart for God. God protected him. You remember the story about Pharaoh wanted to kill all the two-year-olds or all the babies, and Moses' mom sent him up the Nile, and then Pharaoh's daughter or Pharaoh's wife, whoever it was, I forget now, sorry, she looked out and she spotted him, and she brought him in, and he was adopted into their family. And Moses had so much protection on his life. He had so much benefit on his life. He was living in the enemy's camp as one of the kings almost. He had so much influence. He had so much power. And God had his heart marked for the kingdom of God. And yet he makes mistakes. He makes loads of mistakes. And he kills a man and he runs away full of shame. And he tries to run away from life and he tries to run away from God. And eventually God comes and he grabs his attention. It says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. What's going on is that this bush beside him has went on fire. And now there's a voice going to speak from the middle of it. Moses saw that through the bush that was on fire, it did not burn up. It didn't burn. Imagine this, totally supernatural. It's on fire, but it's not burning. Makes no sense because wood burns really well. We had a campfire on Friday night. It burns really well, and it keeps us warm. Verse 3, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Wow. God is looking to get our attention. Maybe he needs to get your attention this morning. Maybe he needs to get your attention. Maybe you thought that you've been listening to God quite well or been talking to God, and maybe you haven't been at all. Maybe a bit like me, you've been listening but not doing. You've been listening but not really hearing. And God's here this morning to say, whether you've been far from me because of regrets and mistakes and because of all the big things that you've done and the wrongs and the rights of that and all of that, or you've just slowly started to fade away from his voice, or maybe you're in a good place but you're not really listening the way you should be, then the Lord says this morning, just like Moses, I can find you in the wilderness. I know where you are. I know the distress that you might be in. I know the 40 years might have passed, but I still have a call on your life. I still have destiny. I still have purpose on you. The only way the Lord can reveal that is to speak to you. We need to hear his voice if we're going to do the things that he needs us to do. And remember, the Lord didn't come to Moses just for his own personal benefit. He came to bless it. Look how Moses took a whole nation, the Israelites, out of captivity, out of slavery, and he brings them to freedom. And we say, how did Moses deserve that? The Lord's not about what you deserve based on your actions. He's all about what you deserve based on his actions. Because again, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer deserving of all of that. You're a new creation in Christ, part of a new family, son and daughter, with a new name, with all at your disposal of heaven. And God comes to Moses after all of those years and he says, Moses, I still know about you. I still have plans for you. I still have destiny on your life. And if I need to, I'll grab your attention through a bush that doesn't burn. And it got his attention. He was like, I'll go over and see what this is about. And that's what he did. And God spoke to him. And look how he responded, just very simply. God says, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here I am. Here I am. He spoke, here I am to the great I am. And the Lord charged him. And it transformed his whole life. Where are you this morning that the Lord needs to speak to? Maybe you're far from him. Maybe you're in the wilderness. Maybe you're in the dry place of the desert. Where are you? Because the Lord wants to reach you, and he'll speak through anything he needs to get your attention. Carrie demonstrated so well. A bowl of water with a few bits in the bottom of it that float to the top? Ridiculous. But God will use those simple things if he needs to grab your attention. Is that more weird than a bush that burns that won't burn? I don't think so. But he will do whatever he needs. If he needs to use a donkey to speak to you, he will do it. He will find one. If he needs to find, I don't know, whatever, a Knight Rider's car to speak to you, he will do it. He will use whatever he needs to grab your attention, because it's not about that. It's about you. He loves you. He remembers you're his son. He remembers you're his daughter, and he will not sever that bond, and he will not break that, because you're his family. He never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget about you. He'll keep talking. He'll keep speaking till he gets your attention. My sheep know my voice. Read this. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says this in John 10, verse 27. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what the Lord says this morning. He knows you because you're his sheep. He knows you because he's the good shepherd. And right at the end of that, or right just before that, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. That's what the Lord says this morning. Do we know his voice? Do we recognize his voice? Do we recognize his voice? Because he wants to speak to us. He wants to grab our attention. I love this story. I read this, and I'll finish with this, and I'll get the guys to come. We'll play in just a minute. But this is what the story tells us. Way back years ago, when the guys would be looking after their sheep, the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. And maybe you're a farmer here today. Well, you'll be surprised. The cows know your voice. They do. I go to feed the cows sometimes, and they don't know my voice, so they don't want to listen to me. They know Dad's voice, so that's why they listen to him. So I try to sound a bit like him, and then they look weird at me, going, you sound quite right, but you don't look quite right. They know. These cows know things. They know things. And back in the day, when the shepherds would look after the sheep, listen what happened. This is really important. They would bring their sheep into the sheep pens. They didn't all have individual ones. They would bring their sheep into the sheep pens. And what they would do is they would leave them there for safety. But then after a while, they'd have to move them to pastures, new to green pastures. And so the shepherd would come and they would have a dilemma. They would have a problem. How am I going to know my sheep? They had no such thing as marked sheep. They had no such thing as any of the things that we have today. No chips in the ears. No nothing. And probably didn't even have sheepdogs that could figure out what was going on. But you know how they did it? The sheep would know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd would spend time with his sheep. They would know his voice because he'd be leading them every day. Every day he would move them to new pastures, not always because they needed it, but because he knew that they needed to know his voice. Otherwise, when they would get together with all the other sheep and then he would start to speak, they wouldn't know him. They just wouldn't hear his voice. They would get lost in the crowd. Anybody ever got lost in the crowd? Anybody ever felt like when you got around everybody else that the crowd started to dominate your life and their voice started to dominate you more than everybody else? And this is what the Lord says this morning, that when the sheep got into the crowd, they wouldn't know at the shepherd's voice. So what he had to do was spend time with the sheep, move them even when they didn't need moved. Just be with them and didn't they move. You know, a good shepherd likes to go and spend time with his sheep and sing over them, rejoice over them. What did David do? He was a good shepherd. That's what he did. He wrote psalms. He wrote psalms. He spoke to the Lord. He spent time with his sheep. His sheep knew his voice. And whenever he asked them to move, whenever he asked them to go, they would recognize his voice. And the Lord says this morning, you might be in the middle of the crowd. Don't worry. Don't worry. I can speak to you because my sheep know my voice. That's what the Lord says. But here's our part that we have to play. Our part that we have to play is that we have to make sure that we're close to the shepherd. Otherwise, when he speaks, we won't recognize it. We won't. If we don't spend time with him, if we don't get close to him, even when he speaks, we won't recognize it. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll get confused. Is that really you, God? Should I do this? Should I do that? And God says this morning, you've got to know that you should know my voice because it's what I've said here. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. But the last bit is up to us. The 2/3 is up to him. The last part is up to us. We've got to come close to him. We've got to know him in the secret place. We've got to hear his voice. We've got to know what he says. I'll finish off with one last part. Is that really you, God? Years ago, we got some of our YWAM friends with us this morning. But I love YWAM. But years ago, Verms gave me a book. Verms was here a few weeks ago. Is that really you, God? It's a YWAM book. One of their founders, or the founder, wrote the book about hearing God's voice. Because hearing God's voice is essential. If we're going to do this, if we're going to do that. But he writes the book and says, is that really you, God? And it prompted me to think, this is sometimes the biggest dilemma that we face. God, I think I've heard your voice. I think that's you, but is that really you? Lord, how do I know that's the right voice? And there's many different ways to think about that, but I wrote down just three quick ideas or three quick guidelines that I think are pretty good practice to know if that's really you. First one is this. Does it lift Jesus as Lord? Does it lift Jesus up? What's the voice that we're hearing? Does that lift Jesus up? Because if it doesn't, I think maybe we might need to forget it. It needs to lift Jesus up as Lord. He's got to have his rightful place in everything that we do, in every voice that we hear. It's got to lift Jesus as Lord, number one. Second thing is this. Does it fit the truth of the Bible? Does it fit within the truth of the Bible, within the heart of the Bible? Now, I understand that not every single thing that you're going to ask God and hear from God on, you may not find a verse on it. You may find the context for it. You may find the heart for it. But does it fit within the Bible? Does it fit within what we would imagine God would say and what God would do? Does it sound like him? Does it feel like him? Does it fit within his word? And thirdly, and I think this is so important, does it lead you to a growing freedom in Christ? Does it lead you to more freedom in Jesus? The voice that you're hearing, the voice that you're leading, the voice that you're following, sorry, does it lead you to more freedom in Christ? Because that is what the good shepherd does. He takes his flock. He moves his flock. He looks after his flock. He takes care of his flock when they're sick. He fixes their feet. He turns them back up when they fall on their back. He does whatever he has to do to look after his sheep. Because a good shepherd takes care of them. And a good sheep knows his voice because they respond to the shepherd. They stay close to the shepherd because they know what's good for them. This shepherd takes care of me.